Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour extraterrestrial tango. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios. In New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Salt Lake to Spokane, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How we doing, everybody? Big show coming up for you this morning. Trash Tuesday. So let's take out the trash here. Who or what is bugging you? It's a time and a day to vent. So let's do it. You want to vent? I will read through your tweets over the course of the morning. Just hit me up on Twitter. DA on CBS is the handle. DA on CBS. Also, we have a toll-free phone line if you're looking also to vent verbally. Sometimes it just feels better to scream at somebody. Simply dial me up at 855-212-4227. Again, that's 855-212-4-CBS. Coming up this morning, we'll do our trashes in approximately 35 minutes from now. We've got Syracuse Orange head coach Dino Babers. He authored one of the biggest comebacks in recent college football history as the Syracuse Orange were a disaster for many years. And last year, they ended up winning 10 games and a bowl game. And they're a preseason top 25 squad. How did that happen? How could it happen? We'll talk to head coach Dino Babers about it. Coming up here in hour number two. Also this morning, more college football. The top 25 is out preseason wide, but with Clemson and Alabama, everybody's consensus 1 and 2. Is there too much NBA-like predictability with college football these days? I'll pick that apart. Also, we've got your Heisman favorites, and for some reason, one of the strongest armed quarterbacks who's going to be a top 2 pick likely in the NFL draft, is on the outside looking in. Why? We'll talk about Justin Herbert's odds coming up this morning on the show, as well as he getting overlooked. We'll also discuss Baker Mayfield as he takes shots at another front office. Is it time for him just to shut up? And one of my favorite stories, one of the best stories of the weekend, was about all of the money Nick Cage has blown over the course of his life on ridiculous things like dinosaur bones and pygmy skulls and octopi and castles. We will hold a Nick Cage fantasy draft this morning on the show in hour number three. We will decide what is the number one item on Nick Cage's ridiculous money spent list. I'll explain later. Okay, but let's begin with last night's Monday night football game. Yes, there was Monday night preseason football last night, the Niners or the Broncos. And you know me, OPP. Yeah, you know I hate preseason. Mraz wants to declare Daniel Jones a future Hall of Famer after two preseason games. I say, who cares? I mean, nobody plays in the preseason. Nobody. And when you do play, you get one series. One. So last night, Jimmy Garoppolo goes in there, and of course, he has not played since he tore his ACL last season. He has not been on the football field in 11 months, at least not in real action. And he gets in there, and it's ugly. It's really ugly. You heard Bogus mention this. I mean, he basically didn't complete a pass. The only pass that he completed was a screen pass, and his running back was tackled at the line of scrimmage. So when you're looking at stats, Jimmy Garoppolo had basically the worst stat line you could last night. He went 1 of 6 with 0 yards passing and an interception. But the Niners got a win, so it's, you know, it's all good. 1 for 6 for 0 yards and a pick. And this happens to follow up a day at practice last week where Jimmy Garoppolo threw 5 interceptions in a row. Yeah, he threw 5 straight passes and 5 straight passes were intercepted. So, tore his ACL. We don't have a huge body of work on Garoppolo. He throws 5 consecutive interceptions and then last night goes 1 for 6 for 0 yards and a pick. I know. I always say, don't worry about the preseason. But is it too early to worry about Jimmy G? It is where we begin your cold open.
4-man rush, quick pressure by Chubb. Pass thrown and contested and intercepted by the Broncos sideline. Intercepted there by Isaac Yiadom.
Something that I haven't done in a year, obviously. So, you know, got knocked the rust off and everything. And, you know, thankfully we have a short week this week, so we get bounced back quickly. But yeah, it's you know, the first step of getting back into it.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Broncos radio on the call. That was Jimmy G after a subpar performance. I personally believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. I believe, even though it's a small sample size, what he did in New England when Tom Brady was suspended and what he did in that 5-game win streak in 2017, I do believe Garoppolo has the goods. And I do believe the New England Patriots believed that Jimmy Garoppolo had the goods. And I don't believe that Bill Belichick wanted to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think he felt as though he had duped everybody into thinking one of his players were better than they actually were. I think Garoppolo had the attention and the respect of the greatest coach in the game, and that it wasn't a fluke that he won those 5 games in 2017. So I do think Jimmy G has what it takes. But what I also think is Garoppolo's injury sapped him of the invincibility that quarterbacks need to be great. When Tom Brady went down with his ACL tear in 2008, he came back and he, because he's so mentally strong, went back to believing that he was invincible. But he wasn't. Of course he wasn't. There were times in 2008 where he didn't look right. Or 2009, rather, where he didn't look right coming off of the 08 lost season. You know, that was probably the worst team that the Patriots had in this 20-year run. It was losing, getting blown out in the first round in the wild card by the Baltimore Ravens. It was a season that was 10-6. Brady was not invincible. It took him some time to come back and really be the weapon that he once was. I think Garoppolo just has to get there. You know, Drew Brees injured that shoulder in San Diego, And there were plenty of teams that didn't believe he'd ever get back to what he was. And through the offense in New Orleans and through the coaching of Sean Payton and through the mental strength that Drew Brees had, came back and now feels invincible again. I don't think you get there right away. And I think that's where Garoppolo is. I think Garoppolo just has rust. Maybe a little insecurity, maybe a little wondering what's going to happen. Maybe it's just a little lack of confidence. That's where he is right now. But I don't believe just what we've seen last night and throwing those five INTs in practice is enough to say, oh, he's a bust. I think that's way too premature. But here's what's real. He's got to mentally get over this. I don't think it's a physical thing. You know, obviously, you had Tom Brady suffer the same type of injury, and it didn't really matter. Granted, Brady was never really a running, scrambling, mobile quarterback. Garoppolo is more mobile, but still, I don't think that's the type of thing that's going to alter the trajectory of Garoppolo's career. What could, though, is getting into your own mind, and look what has happened to Andrew Luck. Luck admitted when he was injured that he overthought it. He was worried about his future. He was worried he was going to dark places. He lacked confidence. And at the quarterback position, you control everything. You control the huddle. You control the offense. You control your team. You control everybody else. So you must have the confidence. You must. Simply, if you don't have it, then your team doesn't have it. So I just think that's where Garoppolo is. But look, it's so damn early, and people are going to jump all over this and say Garoppolo's a bust. He'll never be the same. He's just a pretty boy. He was just Tom Brady's backup. He's just Matt Castle 2.0. No, I don't believe that. I believe he's got the goods, but he's just mentally got to get over where he was and is because of the injury. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a Trash Tuesday, boys and girls. So who's bugging you? What's bugging you? It's time to vent. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and I'll read through your trashes throughout the morning. When we return, Baker Mayfield takes another unnecessary shot at another guy and another team that has nothing to do with the Cleveland Browns. So, to what end? Is it time for Baker just to shut up? We'll do it next. We'll do it live.
DA. Baker Mayfield.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I gotta tell you, brother, I'm so happy that for the last 2 weeks when I was in Cancun, I was able to keep up with the DA show on watchda.com. Great job by Kaplan.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, is pulling the levers, pushing the buttons, and making sure the DA show's in televised form. So you can watch it as well on any device, anywhere. At watchda.com. That's on your phone, on your laptop, on your PC, on your smart TV. Check it out, won't you? I believe that Baker Mayfield and his swagger, confidence, attitude is the perfect fit for what the Cleveland Browns needed. And I use that past tense, needed. I think this has been an organization defined by failure. It was a punchline. It's been a joke. Nobody wanted to play there. You didn't want to associate with the Cleveland Browns because they always were losers and in dramatic, hysterical fashion. So it was not going to take a quiet guy, a quiet leader to step in there and shake that. It was going to take somebody that was loud and brash. And so I actually think that Baker Mayfield was the perfect guy at the perfect time for the Browns to shake them out of the doldrums of, aw, shucks, we're just the Browns.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
There was no way Wheaton was ever going to be the guy there because Brandon Wheaton doesn't have a command of the locker room. He does not have the it factor, and they needed it. Hugh Jackson tried to provide it factor, but Hugh Jackson's largely a bozo, so that doesn't really work. So Baker in this way works, but Baker Mayfield's now graduated. The Browns are no longer laughingstock. The Browns are being taken seriously. The Browns are now no longer expected to go 4-12 and fire their head coach. So Baker doesn't need to do that stuff anymore. And he also doesn't need to make unnecessary enemies anymore because what's more important is just focusing on the task at hand, which is trying to win the division. They are the favorites to win the AFC North. However unrealistic that may be in some circles, do you realize the last time the Browns won the AFC, their division, which would have been the AFC Central back then, was 1989. It's been 30 years since the Browns won their division. That's the first step. And everything else is just noise on the outside. And here's what I don't think Baker does well. I think Baker creates more noise than it's worth. There's no real reason, there's no real win in picking a fight with a guy that went to a rival high school now. But that's what he did. Wants to pick a fight with a college quarterback. There's no win there. And now, in a GQ article released this morning, Baker Mayfield takes a shot at Daniel Jones. Now, if you were listening to the show yesterday, you know that Mraz and I got into a good argument over Daniel Jones. He thinks Daniel Jones is primed to be the next Aaron Rodgers. I say it's relatively premature. You know, it's been two preseason games. But in this article, let me read to you the paragraph about Daniel Jones. The GQ author writes, near our booth, a SportsCenter segment about the Giants catches Mayfield's eye. Quote, I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones, Mayfield says, about New York's much maligned draft day decision to spend the sixth pick on a quarterback from Duke, whose college record was a measly 17-19. Quote, blows my mind. I tell Mayfield that I'm mystified that so many supposedly expert quarterback scouts seem unable to predict what makes a good NFL quarterback. Mayfield says, quote, some people overthink it. That's where people go wrong. They forget you've got to win. End of quote. All right, so this might have been said just in conversation, and maybe Baker didn't intend this to be in this article. It's possible. I mean, it doesn't have to do about him. He's just looking at something, observing something on the TV screen as he sits down to dinner with this author. Okay. But Baker's wired to just say stuff, and he's wired to be a little crass, a little in your face, a little brash. And my guess is he doesn't care that this was out there, that he's going to speak his mind exactly how he feels. And in this case, again, what's the win? The win is criticizing a team that's not even in your conference for drafting a quarterback that's never stepped on the football field yet in the NFL? Like, what's the win there? What happens if Daniel Jones just does end up, as Mraz predicts, to be a multi-time Pro Bowler and a great franchise quarterback? Then Baker Mayfield is feeding into his own negativity that was about him. You know, Baker sits there and says, how could you not believe in me? I got a chip on my shoulder. I've never had anything handed to me. He was drafted number one overall. In his mind, people have unfairly criticized him. But what he's doing now is unfairly criticizing others. Does it make any sense for a guy at quarterback that believes he's been slighted to just slight another guy who doesn't really know anything about? Of course not. There's no win there. If he was paid for his opinion on the draft, fine. But he's paid, his focus has got to be on winning football games for the Cleveland Browns. Okay, is his point that you got to win games? that winning games are the only thing that matters. I did it. Daniel Jones didn't. All right. Okay, maybe. Maybe. But I think that's giving him even more credit than he deserves because he just takes shots at everything, at everybody. I want to believe that the Browns have turned a corner. And you want to know why? Because the NFL is better when the Browns are interesting. That freaking town's amazing. It's just one of the most amazing football towns ever. And as you know, the thing that I root for more than anything else in sports these days is the have-nots to become the haves. I don't like the haves staying the haves. This is why I resent the success of the New England Patriots. I just want them to go away. They've had it. They've had it for 20 years. It is time to move along. I am sick and tired of it. Which is why I want them to step aside for somebody else, some other team, some other city to experience the glory. I hope the Browns do it. But every part of this worries me. Freddie Kitchens worries me. Baker Mayfield worries me.
Baker Mayfield.
Odell Beckham worries me. And a franchise that hasn't won its division in 30 years is getting more bets than anybody else on winning the Super Bowl. And that whole thing worries me. There's no win here for Baker to take a shot at Daniel Jones. It's just another headline of the news cycle created by a quarterback that has nothing to do with his own team. And that just doesn't help you. 855-212-4CBS. Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4227. Now, our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, as always. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Ramon's next up. He's in Indy, listening on 1430 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Ramon.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I'll make it brief. You know, Garofalo, he had some success, but mostly all these quarterbacks that haven't done anything are getting paid on potential. That's just the way it is in sports nowadays. The percentages that he may even get to the Super Bowl are very low, but, I mean, he's 29 other quarterbacks that won't get there. I agree with you on New England or the have-nots always being the have-nots. It's time for all of that in sports to change. Toronto did give us a little difference in basketball. Houston did in baseball. But college football and the NFL has got to do something. Me and my brother debate every day. I'm tired of seeing New England. These other teams ought to be tired of seeing New England. We need to see these have-nots come up. And since they've got all these draft picks, Cleveland and all these other teams, I'm hoping we see that this year. What do you think on that? Thanks.
Well, the funny thing is the NFL has all actually been very, very good at creating parity. It's just the Patriots. The Patriots have defied all odds and all logic at consistently being this good for this long. But the NFL has consistently created haves out of have-nots. I mean, your Super Bowl a couple of years ago was Broncos-Panthers. The Rams have suddenly gone to a Super Bowl. The Falcons were in a Super Bowl. These are not traditionally dominant teams that have been there very recently. So they actually do that really well. It's just that the Patriots have blown that whole thing up. College football does not. College football does not reward the underdogs, does not reward, doesn't have a system that rewards the party crashers, which is what makes Clemson's ascent to being a dominant team all the more unlikely. It's just so hard to not be a college football blue blood and then become one. And Clemson has defied the odds in that way beyond anybody's expectations. We'll talk about whether college football is too predictable later on in the show. But when we come back, it's Trash Tuesday. Let's take out the trash. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, Doc. Great to be with you, man.
Yeah. You've got some KC roots, Doc. I'm curious if you still got people there. We're going to find out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I got peeps everywhere. The army is deep. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, full episodes are available of the DA show. If you miss anything or want to hear it again, just go to iTunes or radio.com or anywhere else that podcasts are available and just find the DA show podcast. Also at cbssportsradio.com, you can listen to full episodes. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Peter Alonso, the Mets rookie, belting his 40th home run on Sunday, becomes the first National League rookie ever to hit 40 in a season. The previous record 2 years ago when Cody Bellinger hit 39 home runs. Pete Alonso could win NL Rookie of the Year. Some have said he should win the MVP as well, but let's face it, Bellinger's season this year is uncatchable in terms of the MVP, but Pete Alonso as the Rookie of the Year definitely in play. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. It is a Trash Tuesday, and thus, it's a great time to vent. I mean, we're all frustrated at something or someone, and it just helps to get it off your chest and then move along. It does not help to keep it bottled up and have it burn as resentment, because you know what? That daily can eat away at you, and then you lash out in other ways. That's not good. It's not good to live an angry life. So you vent, you get it out there, you verbalize, and then you wash your hands and you move along. And that's what we do here. It is Tuesday therapy on the DA Show. So you can always tweet at me, DA on CBS for your trashes. That's DA on CBS. Also, on the phones, if you want to jump in on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Kevin tweets, DA, I want to trash people who have 15-minute conversations in the middle of the grocery store aisle across from one another so that no one can pass. Hashtag move along. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Kaz and Wisco tweets, DA, I'm trashing Mraz for comparing Eli and Daniel Jones as the next Favre and Manning, Favre and Rodgers Hall of Fame package. First, Manning is nowhere near Favre's level, a complete insult. And Mraz is jinxing Daniel Jones by overhyping him. I'll be right behind DA to say I told you so.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
The Giants got the best player in the 2019 draft.
It's a tough early part of the morning in Trash Tuesday for Mraz. He gets trashed twice in the first three tweets. Upside down Mike tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. When we were working on his new house on Saturday, we were hanging sheetrock, and his mom showed up. And in a panic, Mraz said, quote, give me a screw gun so my mom sees that I'm working and learning. Hashtag get him out. Hashtag it clears it.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
It clears it.
Did this actually happen?
I was working. My mom always says I'm not handy. She happened to show up at the one time I was eating a donut, and I said, somebody hand me something quick as she walks through the door. So he did. He tossed me the screw gun. I was screwing in. She said, oh, okay, good job, Sean. I got to prove my worth here.
You were the one, though, that famously said, my mother can't tell me nothing. I don't listen to my mother.
No.
I'm not going to fold the clothes when my mother says fold the clothes. I'm going to let the folded clothes stay downstairs. I'm not taking them because I don't listen to my mother.
I don't listen to orders from my mother, who, by the way, is at my house that I own, cleaning it right now. All right? She's cleaning it. But she always tells me I'm not handy, and I'm tired of hearing it. So I had to prove I'm handy, damn it.
You had to prove it by faking it.
Well, no. I knew if she walked in that instance, even though I'd been handy for the 2 hours previous, she would only feature me eating a donut and thinking I was just the foreman on the job. Damn, he owns a screw gun, stat.
He actually owns a home.
Yeah. How is that going, by the way?
It's a disaster. It's a total disaster. Every wall I lift up, there's another piece of black mold. I need to sell this thing quick.
The money pit.
Wonder why it was in foreclosure.
So now you're house hunters. You're just flipping houses
now? I don't know. Honestly, I would have been better off investing in a cardboard box outside the station. It's a nightmare.
So you bought a foreclosure, and there's a lot of internal renovations to do.
Yes. You know, every wall, Daniel, they want the wood paneling here. You take down the wood paneling. Oh, look at that mold spot here. I ended up gutting three rooms. I can't even keep track anymore. I'm hanging drywall. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even own a screw gun. I don't know who left it at their house. Last night, I'm screwing more stuff in. Plumber stayed till 1 in the morning last night because we had pipes bursting left and right because they said it was winterized. It wasn't winterized. I don't know what to do anymore.
This sounds really intense.
Yeah.
I'm burning the candle at both ends. I'm on 3 hours sleep. I don't even know if I'm going to make a mortgage payment when it's all said and done.
Thank God Daniel Jones is awesome.
He fell off the ladder, too.
Yeah, I fell off a ladder. I drilled myself in the face with a hammer.
What happened? How did you fall off a ladder?
So,
The ladder kicked them off.
To demo a room before you hang drywall, as I've learned because I'm handy, you got to pull all the nails out of the beams so the sheetrock can lay dry. And there was one nail that just wasn't coming or lay flat. And finally, I was tugging. I was sweat pouring out of my hands. The hammer slipped out of my hand. It flew off, came back, drilled me in the chin, knocked me cold off the ladder. I was laying on my back. I was on my 10th hour work Saturday. My mother-in-law opens the door. What happened to you? I'm just laying there with Tweety Bird going over my face. I couldn't take more. I started to cry. I went to another room. I shut the door, and I had a good cry for 10 minutes. I pretended I was outside.
Did you cry out of pain or cry out
everything?
Of
cried
emotion.
Out of, I bit off more than I could chew. It was hurting bad. I thought I knocked a tooth out. Thankfully, I didn't. And I don't know what to do anymore. All right? I don't know what to do. I don't know why I'm a homeowner. In. I got a baby on the way. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Mold everywhere in the house. It's a disaster.
What do you want to trash, Sean?
I love the fact that your life is basically a combination of a Kevin James sitcom and the Three Stooges. It's like you're on this ladder. Whoop, boop, 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 boing, doing, doing, fall down off the ladder. Here comes the Tweety Birds. Then your mom walks in. What are you on the floor for?
Say, I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. In the middle of this, I got my father-in-law thinking it's a 1943 Italian movie. Smoking cigarettes in the house. I'm kicking him out. He storms off, gets all mad. Like, I'm in the wrong for mad that he's smoking in the house. The whole thing's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
When are you going to move into said house?
Supposed to be next week, and I don't know. I got Carlos the floor guy coming on Monday. He's got to finish these floors. My buddy TJ's, you know, he's got to finish this spackle job before the end of the week. Then I think we'll be okay. I don't know. I hope we're okay. We're going to live out of a half the house at least.
You're going to have to sell this quick since you're now a house flipper.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently. But at least I know how to do some work.
I'd like to watch this HGTV.
Immediately.
It's bad.
Can we do the show from there one day?
Every part is bad. I got to go with a shop vac. Yeah, if you want to come do the show, we can set up a remote. I don't have internet yet, but...
Hook up to the neighbor's ISDN.
Let's give you your Trash Tuesday, boys and girls.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, so Mraz, are you gonna start there with your trashes?
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna trash something I didn't just mention in that whole tirade. You know what I've had enough of already? My nosy neighbors. Everybody now who's doing work on the house has to slow down because I'm on a corner of the stop sign and do the stare for 10 minutes, examining every part of me and everybody work with me. Who's moving into the neighborhood here? What is? Oh, there's a fat guy. What is he doing? Well, you know, how about welcoming to the neighborhood? Whatever happened in the 1950s when somebody showed up, knocked at your door with a can of jam? I'm not getting those neighbors. I got the people showing up at the stop sign looking at me like I'm some fat buffoon wondering if I'm flipping a house, if I'm staying at the house. How about a simple, if you're going to stop and stare, I'm not a zoo exhibit. Roll down the window, say hello, introduce yourself. I'm Sean, nice to meet you. I'm in the neighborhood. Who are you? You Gary? You Gene? Great. Where do you guys live?
Where's your jam?
How are the schools? I mean, geez, would it hurt somebody to send me a half tray of penny a la vodka maybe? Say, welcome to the neighborhood? No. I get these vicious stares. All my neighbors suck already. Get them out.
Trash. Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
It's electric.
What's your name? Gary, Gene? Give me your can of jam now. I'm in the neighborhood over here.
Want some baked ziti, yo.
Hey, yo. Where's your can of jam? Gary, Gene, move along here. Are your neighbors really named Gary and Gene?
I don't know any of the names because nobody introduces themselves. They'll just stare at me like I'm the big humpback whale in the aquarium. Look at him go by there carrying the piece of sheetrock.
You're more beluga than humpback, actually.
This might be the end of Mraz.
Hey, don't you know how to be a good neighbor? Where's the can of jam?
Hey, give me some paint while you're at it.
How are the schools around here, Gary? Your name's Gene, right? Oh, it's not? You look like a Gene. So how are the schools around here? Where's your can of jam?
Where are the buses?
How's the postal route around here? When am I going to get my...
You got any of those convenience stores? Oh!
You guys dial the 311 or you just don't when you dig? What are you doing around here? You look like a Gary. Oh, where's my can of jam?
Oh!
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I don't know if I can follow that, but I'm going to try. I'm trashing people that decide to feed the birds and then leave the park after they do it. I'm sitting at the park eating a nice sandwich on Sunday, and some guy walks around. He starts on a walk. Oh, hey, look, there's the birds. Let's feed them bread and all the food that they didn't want to eat. And then we got
Let's give them jam. Be a good neighbor.
Jam. Oh, nonstop pigeons decide to come flock toward me while I'm trying to eat my sandwich because of this guy. And the guy leaves. And he's all smiling. Oh, look at the birds. Look at the couple. It looked like Home Alone 2 when they attacked Marv. It was horrible. But enough of these people feeding the birds. Stop. Enough. There's signs that say, don't feed the birds. Don't feed the birds.
Trash up.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Stop feeding all the birds. Andrew Bogus, who are you trashing?
DA, the wife and I broke away from family vacation last week and snuck off to Atlantic City to see her favorite band, Aerosmith, at a casino. So the way it was not in an actual like arena, stadium. It was basically in a huge like convention room. Like somebody might be getting married there this weekend. Standing room only, first come, first serve. So we go rushing in, we get there early on the front of the line, we get in, we are right up on the rope. Now ahead of us, between the rope and this actual stage, is the VIP area. So there's a gap between the rope and the first people in the VIP because it hadn't filled up yet. So we're standing there, people are coming in behind us, we got a great spot. As the music starts, there's this like, she's hot, I'll have to acknowledge it. And because she's hot, she thinks she can just walk through all of these people who have been there for hours like us. And she sees the gap and she's like, what's the gap for? How come you guys haven't gone through there? And we're like, there's a rope here. And she's like, so? I'm like, there's a rope here. We can't cross the rope. It's for VIP. So she's literally about to like just go through the rope and the security guard stops her. But then she consistent and just stands there. And we're like looking at her, and we had befriended the couple next to us, and we're like, you're not staying here. And she's literally like standing on the back of my arm and the guy next to me, thinking that she has won her spot up. And eventually, like, our coldness drives her away. But just because she was good looking, she thought she could weasel her way through rows of people and get a better spot coming late to the show.
Trasher.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
It is amazing the advantages that good-looking people have in our society.
And she made it through like eight people deep to get to us until we finally stopped the rush.
Yeah, the reason she went up to feel like she could cut everybody was because she has done that before, and it has worked.
Yes.
It has absolutely worked. And this happens for guys and girls.
And it would have worked if I was not with my wife, if we're being honest.
It would have worked again.
Yeah.
My trash is very insular. I am trashing inter-office email alerts. We had some town hall meeting company-wide a couple months ago, and we get an alert that it's happening. I still get this alert every single day, and every single day I dismiss it. And I have tried to dismiss said alert about 1,000 different ways. I exit, I hit snooze, I hit dismiss all. I go into the email, I delete the email. I have done everything I could, and this inter-office email about this town hall meeting will never go away. I will have to see an alert for this town hall meeting I didn't go to 2 months ago for the rest of my life. Trash it.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
You're so right. Honestly, until you just said that, I kept thinking it was a new town hall every day.
It's the same one.
The same one. And also, you're not actually at a town hall. Why are you calling it a town hall?
It's from June, and it's still alerting me. It's like, it's over. Why do we have to do this?
But is this the glitch one? Because there was one day we were getting, like, rapid fire. This has been canceled and rescheduled. Canceled and rescheduled from a woman named Peggy, and it was for, like, last year's town hall. And they were finally like, please excuse the Outlook issue we're having right now.
I don't know what it is, but I can tell that there's a town hall meeting and I'm missing it.
I think Peggy gave up.
I think I snoozed that about 15 times and it didn't work.
Yeah. So send us your trashes, DA on CBS. Chuck tweets, I'm trashing Antonio Brown for making it all about him and Raiders GM Mike Mayock for not verbally tearing into Antonio Brown. Look, Mayock and the Raiders have already addressed essentially that they've given him an ultimatum. So that's the first part. Soon it's going to get to it being even uglier if AB does a report or AB keeps playing games. And this is so early for the Raiders to already be at this ultimatum level. But they've been pushed to the brink because AB is a crazy person. AB is just out to lunch. AB is a total distraction. And it's very obvious John Gruden sent Mayock to do the dirty work because Gruden still wants to be on AB side knowing that he's the head coach. But if Mayock is saying this, it comes from John Gruden. And so they're trying to play good cop, bad cop, and they're getting really frustrated. And I don't blame them, but at the same time, they actively went into this relationship. They sought the relationship with Antonio Brown, and now they're getting everything that comes with a dysfunctional relationship with Antonio Brown. More of your trash is straight ahead at 855-212-4CBS. Sounds like a bunch of you guys are trashing me as well. Also, when we return, why is Justin Herbert on the outside looking into the Heisman? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.